At the end of June, I had an opportunity to travel on business to Grand Rapids, Michigan. And all I knew was that I was going to be attending a workshop with other employees, and that it was based upon a book that we were all given to read, and the book was called The Collaborative Way. So the only thing I knew going into it was that it was probably going to be a book about a way we could all work collaboratively. Well, it was based upon different concepts that were going to accomplish that, and they were things like to speak clearly, to be there for others, and basically always have a defined goal, or you know, if you go into a meeting, what's the reason why you're there, that type of thing. And as I was looking through these concepts, like Roger shared, he saw those heron prints and was connecting it to a religious thought. There were so many concepts in this study, this book, that I was seeing through a spiritual lens as well. I even told one of the instructors that I saw a couple sermons here, and that's kind of what we're going to look at this morning. I want to focus on the first concept that we talked about in that class, and it was called listening generously. And it means listening for the contribution in what the other person is saying, what they're contributing to whatever discussion is taking place, and then just listening. And it requires listening in a way that you're willing to give them a fair shake, and that you're willing to be influenced by what it is they're saying. And when we're willing to be influenced and we put aside these preconceived ideas and we bring an authentic curiosity to the conversation, good things can happen. And as we engage in this conversation, our challenge is to just maintain a sense of curiosity. Why is this person sharing this, and what can we take from it, and not try to put up our own conclusions? Now, there are two factors that usually prevent us from truly listening to others. The first is that we're undisciplined. We usually are thinking about other things. We let our minds wander. You know, maybe we're thinking about, even this morning, well, what's for lunch, or what time is that ball game this afternoon? Something like that. We just do it. Even while Roger was talking, I found myself struggling to maintain discipline in listening to what he was saying. And the other thing is that we sometimes jump to conclusions. Oh, I see where you're going with this. Let me jump in here. No, that wasn't where I was going at all. And now you've disrupted that person, and that's something else we struggle with. And maybe we're listening and we're not listening collaboratively or generously. We're listening, what are they going to say that I can nitpick? What are they going to say that is wrong and I can just jump on them with both feet? Well, that's not a good way to be listening to people. And the second factor that we talked about, ways that we struggle in actually listening to each other, is that we put up filters. And whether we admit it or not, we listen really with anyone talking with some level of filters. And they're usually determined by, you know, it's usually external things, our culture, our upbringing, past experiences, prejudices that we might have, attitudes towards maybe the person that we're speaking. We're filtered by our own beliefs, our own values, our own, well, emotions and feelings. And we make assumptions based upon our interests and our expectations. Maybe the speaker is someone that has shown themselves in the past to be untrustworthy. So you might go into a discussion with a mindset, I'm sure we've all had, yeah, right. I'll believe what you're saying when I see it happen. And so that's what we do. We filter these things that people are saying. And when we listen in a spiritual capacity, we need to make sure that those are not blocking us from listening to what the person is saying. These two attitudes can prevent us from learning in a manner that we should be learning. So what we can do is start by, well, listening. Really, truly listening. One of the biggest mistakes people make is they, like I said, they interject themselves into a conversation. But the Bible has a few passages that we can look at about that. James chapter 1, 19 through 20 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7 says, there's a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. I think we both can see that the Lord understood this concept of listening generously and not be ready to just jump in with saying, to say something. In both these passages, he's telling us there's value in just marinating on what the person just said. Don't just be impulsive and jump in, but really truly think and frame what we say back to people. And really, when we allow other people to speak, we are showing that we have respect for that person, that we value what they are saying. And in Romans 12:10, it reads, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. By listening and by being respectful, we are going to be honoring them, that we realize that what they say has some value. But so few people in this world actually listen. It's our nature to want to be jumping in and providing our viewpoint, providing our standpoint on something. But we've even found this with the case of the disciples. In Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 32, we read, they went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise. But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. Here, Jesus' words were clear. He was telling them exactly what was going to happen and what we all know did happen. But they were not able or willing to comprehend what he was saying. They were expecting an earthly kingdom. And this wasn't matching what they had to say. There are things that we need to be listening for and not just jumping in with our conclusions. And the disciples were doing that very thing. They were not expecting what Jesus said, so they just weren't able to wrap their heads around it. And some only listen so long as you agree with them. They want to hear what they want to hear. If they hear an opposing viewpoint or whatever, most people are not as accepting of that. In Acts chapter 21, Paul was arrested in the temple in Jerusalem, and a mob had grown, and he was taken away, and he asked one of the Roman soldiers to let him speak. And he begins to tell the crowd about his adventure on the road to Damascus when the Lord came down and his conversion happened, and that he had gone there to persecute these people, but then he tells them that because of the persecution of the Jewish Christians, he was hesitant now to go along them and to preach to them. And in Acts chapter 22, verse 21, the Lord tells him that he was to go preach to the Gentiles. And in in the next verse, it tells us that that audience is not pleased by this. So in Acts 22:22, up to this word, they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. So because of the filter that they had regarding the Gentiles, they immediately stopped listening and began rioting again. So now that we've spent some time understanding how we could fail at listening, we need to have an understanding about to whom it is we should be listening. There are people that have more value than others. Let's just be clear about that. And so Jesus would often end things that he was saying. He would make a statement at the end, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. We need to open our ears. We need to pay attention. And we need to listen about important things that are in our life, that are important to our lives. And many opportunities from listening simply come along just once in a lifetime. It's regretfully too late when we find ourselves saying, I should have listened. I should have done. I should have not done this, whatever the case may be. And so maybe we can prevent those type of things in the future. And so we'll consider some things on why it is and how we can open our ears and hear them. So the first person we need to be listening to and that to whom we should be paying attention of course, is the Father in heaven himself. He is a communicator. I mentioned in class this morning, the book of Malachi is just a communication between the children of Israel and the Lord. He was answering questions that they had. He is a good communicator. And he saw fit to reveal his will to all of us about his son coming in and dying for us. In James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, it reads, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." We have his words preserved for us today. The Bible is the word of God. And according to those words, especially in the part that we know today as the New Testament, that's the source of his teaching. That is where we can go, to that we should be listening. We need to listen to the Word of God as we have it in our Bibles today. God will not give us another one. He's not going to give us any more direction, any more sources of wisdom, anything like that. We are not needing him to repeat himself. He's given it once and for all. Jude 3 tells us the faith was once for all delivered to the saints. And Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 states that God has spoken in these last days through his Son. So he has spoken in many different ways. So then we have to then ask ourselves, so why is it that it's important for us to listen to him? Well, the will of God is about all of us. The preparation and possibility of our salvation is plotted beginning in the very first verse of Genesis 1, chapter 1, and it proceeds all through the Old Testament into the New Testament, where many of those things were fulfilled. Well, I shouldn't say many, they all were fulfilled. And they carried different instructions, different warnings, and different promises. There was a gentleman that came to West Carrollton. It's been close to probably 15 years ago. A gentleman by the name of Ken Craig. And some of you may know he put the big picture of the Bible together. And I every once in a while will go out. You can find him on YouTube. Look up Ken Craig, Big Picture of the Bible. And he has several presentations out there. And just, I've been listening to some of them recently. And the overarching message that he does such a great job of impressing upon the leaders, to the hearer, I should say, is that salvation, the salvation of mankind, is the key theme throughout the Bible that never changes. From the beginning of his scripture till the end, everything in there is leading towards that salvation. And that means each of us, being part of mankind, is part of that message. It's something we all should be focusing on. And so we have to place great value on the message that he's provided to us. And a good reason for that is because we are just simply not able to succeed without God. We talked a lot this morning about worry and having faith and trust in him. We can't succeed without him. If not, we're no better than the Gentiles we talked about that had no faith in him and didn't look for him for help. But we have to realize that. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." A lot of people think they have it figured out. A lot of self-help books, a lot of different religious writers that have thought of different ways to do it. And that is nothing but folly. We only should be listening to the Lord. Jeremiah 10:23 says, "I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps." Whenever man thinks that he can save himself or he can change something about himself, really, they're just setting themselves up for failure. But thankfully, we don't have to go through that trial and error. And that's because we've been given the Word. We don't need to try and figure it out on our own. If we look and we read and we study and we acknowledge and we understand and we apply what we find in the Word of God, then success is guaranteed to be a part of us. God has given us what we need to succeed through what we read in the Scriptures. Psalm 19, 7 through 11 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward." True success in this life is found by seeking and finding your Creator and realizing that all of that He's given us, as we saw there in Psalms, it's perfect. There's nothing more that needs to be added to or taken away from it. Now, for the sake of time this morning, we're not going to read Acts chapter 17, verses 25 through 31. But that passage tells us that God made man, and in verse 27 it clearly says that mankind should seek God, feel their way towards Him, and find Him. Because in verse 31 it tells us that He has fixed a day on which He will judge the world. That He will judge the world based upon the word that He has given us, and our righteousness and how we have believed in it and acted upon it in a way that we should. And He will judge the world by His Son who has been risen from the dead. And so another fact of success in our life is also the salvation of our very souls. That is something that'll help us be successful. Matthew chapter 16 verse 26 says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" Fame, fortune, and power in this life was what most people in this world would consider a successful life. If you've accomplished those things and you're set up for life and you've won the game of life. But this passage tells us if that's what our focus is, if that's what we're driven towards, is the power and fame and wealth, whatever the case may be, well then we're going to lose the most important thing that there is for us. We're at risk of losing our soul, and not one thing that we find here on earth is worth that. We talked in class again this morning about the Lord knows what we need. The Lord doesn't care about what we want. He provides us what we need, and I think we all look around. He's providing us plenty. We I don't think many of us here probably rode here on a bike or walked here. We probably have a nice home that we go to. God has spoken, and He's delivered His will to us, and it's up to us to realize the value that is there in the salvation that's provided for us. And so we need to just ask ourselves, when the Lord tells us these things, are we listening? Now, listening to God has great value. I hope I've successfully laid that out. But another group of people that we need to listen to, well, is each other. We've already spoken of God's willingness to supply our needs, and among those needs is companionship or togetherness or partnership on the road of faith. And God designed the church to meet those very needs. I'm teaching a class on Wednesday night about church history, and it's really interesting to see how far John was the last apostle, and he died in the 90s, the 90 AD. Now, of course, there would have been people that would have been a little bit younger that the apostles had laid their hands on to give them the power of prophecy or healing, whatever the case might be. But once we got into the second century, most of those people with direct connection with the apostles were gone. And you'll see that very quickly people start bringing in their own ideas into the church, and they start designing, they start pulling it apart, and they've lost sight of one thing. The church was built by Christ, and what He laid out for us is the only thing we need to be looking at. Matthew chapter 16 through 18 said, "Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of heaven shall not prevail against it. He came to this earth and he gave his life. And this statement is the foundation of how the church was built. Not Peter, but on the rock being that confession, that statement that he was the Son of God. And so the church is of Christ and it's built upon Christ and the knowledge that he is the Son of God. And the church is populated. People are brought into the church by people listening to the gospel. Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And then, Romans, sorry about that. I have the wrong verse up there for Romans. But the passage says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteousness shall live by faith." And so we are compelled to listen to the gospel. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of it," because inside the gospel is everything we need for our salvation. It's the power of God for everyone that we all need to listen. The church then is made up of those of like faith. The brothers and sisters that come together of a church should all be agreement and have the same faith of what they are doing when we do come together. If we look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God, of Jesus our Lord." Any relationship, secular, marriage, spiritual, any relationship is made stronger through communication, by talking, speaking, and listening. And the church is a family of brothers and sisters working together for the same cause. That is the cause of Christ. And we are to be unified in our relationship. And this is what Peter's saying, that we need to have this faith that is going to allow us to be, our grace and peace to be multiplied. And we can work together and grow together. And we, because of this, we need to be able to listen and share with our brothers and sisters. And we need to do this for, well, one reason, so we can be made aware. We need to be aware of what their needs are. When we're listening, we need to be listening for clues or cues of what they're saying. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Often when we speak to each other, we'll offer maybe suggestions of need, we'll kind of maybe hint around it, but we don't come right out and maybe ask it for whatever reason. But when we're listening, we need to be listening, and we need to be considering what it is they are saying. And we need to pay close attention to them in order that we don't miss some detail that we could, the help that they may be seeking. And so we need to just pay close attention and understand exactly what someone may be saying they need without coming right at it. People have pride. They may not want to admit that they're struggling. And so we need to be listening in order to maybe pick that up. And so because we can hear and not listen completely at the same time, we need to guard ourselves against, like I mentioned earlier, about jumping to conclusions. Well, they sound okay. They're fine. I'm sure there's nothing there. So we need to not have that jumping to conclusion attitude about us. We're talking about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Paul tells us that love does not insist on its own way. Love doesn't barge in. Love doesn't come in and sit down on your couch and tell you this is the way it's going to be. No, love is not that way. And if for any fully reason that we don't understand, then we need to just be curious, like I mentioned earlier. And we need to ask them to fill in the blanks of what maybe you're missing or what you're thinking about. And because of that, we don't need to assume, but we need to listen and we need to learn. And as brethren, we need to listen to each other so that we can withstand the world and successfully inherit eternal life. If people are struggling in their spiritual life, we need to be able to listen and pick that up when we're talking with people. And we need to go to them and we need to try to strive to help them with any issues they're having. And so we have to be listening in order to do that. And then lastly, we need to listen to others. And when listening to others, those especially who are not our brethren. There are people that we have probably on a week-to-week basis, we have more communication with people that are not of like faith than we do. Just because at our jobs, we go to the grocery store, whatever the case may be, we're speaking with people all the time. And we're listening to people that aren't wanting to be listening for the message, or they may not be expressing that they have that need. And whether they're currently aware or not, they will be accountable to the Creator. They will be held to the same standards as those who are listening to what He has to say. And they will also stand in judgment, just as those who have listened and acted upon it will stand before Him as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11 said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience." When we consider the nation of Israel throughout the Old Testament, over and over again we see that they were being warned about their disobedience. "I'm giving you a chance to act right, or if not, things will happen." They were in 70 years of captivity in Babylon because they didn't listen to the warnings of the prophets that were there. And the judgment finally came to each one of them because they did not listen. And while it's not too likely today that we will face going into imprisonment in Babylon for 70 years, but that is something that we recognize, that there are people that face their own 70 years of Babylon if they don't have a faithful relationship with the Lord, but their 70 years is eternity. And the world is filled with people that are needing to hear that message. They desperately need God and the plan of salvation that is provided through the Son. And so we might be the only opportunity that person ever has to hear and really hear the gospel. But that can only happen unless we listen to what they're saying and know their condition and then actually act upon it. For what are we to be listening to when we are listening to others? Well, that's what's going to help us understand how we can help them. We have to listen for their cries for help. The world is lost and they are dying in their sins. And as we've already looked at this morning, they will not make it by following their own hearts. They are not able to figure out their own way to salvation. The salvation plan is there, and they must find it, and they must walk that path. And we have what they need. We have that knowledge. We know how it is applied to our lives and what difference that has made in our lives, and that we can look forward to spending eternity with Him. And so we have what they need. We are the hope of salvation in bodily form. And we can share that with them. And we can tell them about the life everlasting, the gift, the free gift of God that is available to each and every one of us. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The world is in need of a Savior. And there is only one name by which they may be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We have the duty of carrying the gospel message to the world. And the world is not a generic term. The world is your coworker. Your world might be a relative that's not faithful. We have that obligation to carry the message to them. We must hear those who are asking for help, and we must listen to them and give them the help that they need, especially if it's of a spiritual nature. That should get our attention immediately. Yes, the world is in need, and those who recognize this need are asking for help, and we have to be the source of that help. And the final question I have for you this morning, are you listening? When people around you are giving you signs that they know that they are in spiritual distress, are you listening? Are you able to listen to what they say? And are we able and willing to go to them and to help them have that understanding? And so we all have some listening to do. We must listen to God in order to be pleasing to Him. We need to listen to each other, to strengthen each other, and to encourage each other, and to help each other when help is needed. And then the most important thing is we need to be listening to those around us who are not of like faith. And we need to bring them to the understanding of the plan of salvation that is before all of us because of the death of the Son of God. And so we need to be listening to God, to each other, and to the world. If you're here this morning and you're of the world, you're not of that group that is already in the pathway of faith, that you've not made that decision in your life to dedicate your life to Him, well then, we have that opportunity today. I'm convinced somewhere there's probably some water here behind me, and it stands ready for you to come forward and to confess that Jesus is Lord, and that you intend to turn away from your sins, and you have intention to live a faithful life. We have everything here this morning that is needed for you to make that decision. If you're subject to the Lord's call in any way, we ask you to come forward now as we stand and sing.